Production. Recorded live.
Welcome to episode 37 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about disabled cachers, and I want to remind everyone this show is live. Call in 724-444-7444, and our Tuckass ID is 7525. It's getting kind of cold out here. I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. I say it's getting cold. Where Monty Ryder is, it's not exactly cold, but it's cold here in northern Indiana. This weekend, I went out with my father-in-law. My father was here, and we went out this weekend and hit a few caches. We hit one that we had been trying to hit. It would have been my fourth time being to the cache. You had to cross the river on this fallen tree, and the first time I went to it, I got eaten alive by deer flies. The second time, me and my father and I went to it, we got across, but we couldn't find it, and we just could not find the cache. The third time we went to it, the river was way too high, and there's no way we were going to cross it. And then this last time, it looks like it had just receded just enough for us to get over. So my dad went over, and I was going to go over, but I was a little scared to drop the GPS in the river and all that stuff like that, and it was cold. So I just said, since you're already over there, go ahead and hit it and go ahead and fight it. And he found it right away. Second cache we tried was one that I had been to. This would have been my third time going to, and it's a micro in the woods, and I'm not a big fan of those, and we couldn't find it again. But I know it was still there because someone right after us had hit it like the day after. So I know that it's still there, so I may have to go back again, but that'll be my fourth time there, too, so I don't know. We'll have to see. I want to let everyone know tonight that Daryl is taking some time off of our podcast. His mixing board went out for service, so he's taking some time off, so we have Montu Ryder with us. Welcome to the show, Montu, and I hear that you have a story of some caching yourself.
Yeah, we did the holiday caching thing ourselves here, and you're absolutely right. It is not quite as cold down here. Here in Newport Richey, we're 66 degrees outside right now. We went on a pretty good caching spree over the holiday weekend. We had 5 DNFs and 11 finds. A couple of them, we were having the fly problem like you were saying with that one. Some real nasty ones back in there. We're proud to say that our daughter, Princess Katie Bug, has hit her 100 finds. She hit that last night.
So, well, congratulations to her.
So she's gotten it up there. And I also had my sixth cacher to complete one of my biggest caches that I've got laid out down here. Congratulations to Krusty and Dusty for finding Excalibur.
Cool. Well, tonight's topic, we're talking a little bit about disabled cachers. And from what I understand, that's something that you have close to your heart. So can you tell us a little bit about how this relates to you and how it's close to your heart, and just tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, the reason this is something I know quite a bit about is my lovely wife, Jodster, is for the most part wheelchair-bound. She was born with cerebral palsy, which affects pretty much the lower half of her body. She doesn't have the best balance, and she exerts quite a bit of energy when she has to move about. So for the most part, she is in a wheelchair. One of the things that we found a little bit disheartening with the geocaching is sometimes cachers will rate a cache as being wheelchair-friendly just because you can get right up to it, but not thinking about sometimes what you've got to go through to get there. Stairs might be in the way or something like that.
So, since we have been talking about, or since I knew this show was coming up and we were going to be talking about disabled cachers, I had been thinking a little bit about it, and I actually ran a pocket query today of caches that just had the wheelchair accessible icon on it, and I got 500 caches close to me, but it had a radius of like 130 miles, whereas my normal pocket query runs about 35 miles or a little bit more than that to get to my 500 caches. So for you guys, it's a little bit harder to hit caches. You guys got a little drive a little bit further, and then it's got to stink, like you said, that if someone marks it as a wheelchair accessible, because you can get to the right up to it, but then you can't get to it. Tell us a little bit more about the logistics, I guess, of caching for you guys.
Well, a couple things that cachers need to keep in mind. First off, the cache rating system, they're not always correct for all disabled persons in wheelchairs. One of the caches my wife and I placed, we filled out the little questionnaire that's there on geocaching.com, to rate the cache, and it rated the cache at about a 3.2 because of the distance. Well, it's out a paved bike trail, so my wife is very easily able to make it out there. Now, one thing, though, is my wife's in a powered wheelchair. Mm-hmm. If somebody's in a manual wheelchair, they might not have the energy to make it out there. It's 5.5 miles one way just to get to this cache. My wife in a power chair can wheel right up to it and get the cache, but somebody in a manual chair, it's paved up to about the last 5 feet. So their manual chair may or may not be able to get it. And as I said, the distance is the other factor on it. But that was just filling out the information in the questionnaire that's right there on GC.com.
So we really can't put too much blame so much on the cachers if they're just doing what you said, where they're just putting in the information and it's giving them the rating. Where I would say we could blame the cachers is if they're not thinking. I mean, you gotta kind of think yourself there. What would make a wheelchair accessible cache?
Right. The wheelchair attribute, that icon that says it's wheelchair friendly, that's the one where the cacher is in more control of it. But most people, in fact, that little tool that helps us rate our caches, it pretty much says that the 1-1, that's going to be wheelchair friendly. And that's where my case in point with the 1 is. It's not always true, because this 3-2 that I've got is actually wheelchair friendly if you've got somebody that's got the stamina to get on a manual chair out there, or somebody that's got a power chair. But then, with, as you said, with the icon, people need to be very cautious about that one. We went to a CETO event a couple weekends ago here locally, and we had emailed the host ahead of time to ask if it was a wheelchair-friendly location or not, and she then checked with the park ranger. And the park ranger said, yeah, our trails, with the exception of those down by the river, are wheelchair-friendly. When we get there, we find the parking lot is kind of separated from the rest of the park by a nice fence. And mm-hmm. the fence has got this gate in it, or opening, that's barely wide enough for me to walk through. Both my arms brush the posts on either side as I walk through. Somebody in even a manual chair would not have been able to get through that gate, let alone my wife being in her power chair. And the host felt real bad about that when we got there. But, we told her, we don't blame you one bit. The park rangers told you this place was wheelchair friendly. The trails, yes, were wheelchair friendly. She could have gone down almost every last trail except the river trails, which was exactly what we'd been told. But getting through the gate was an impossibility for her chair.
What did you guys do that then? As far as that cache, did you just not go to the CETO event?
Well, my wife insisted that my daughter and I go ahead and go out and get some trash picking up done. And so we went ahead and did that. And she sat back in the van waiting for us to return. So we kind of kept that event down to a shorter time than what we would have liked. But that's part of where it comes in a little bit disheartening for us as a family, is when we go to a cache, or an event cache in this case, and when we arrive, we realize that we've got to leave her behind in the van. It's a big letdown for her, because she doesn't get to go out on the joy of the hunt.
So what exactly would you, how would you classify wheelchair friendly? as far as caching goes. What would you call, how would you, for the listeners out there who are thinking about their caches, what would you call a wheelchair-friendly cache? Like, how would you describe a wheelchair-friendly cache?
Well, a wheelchair-friendly cache would need to be something that somebody in a wheelchair, powered or unpowered, can wheel right up to. Something where there's no stairs that are in the way that would block them getting to it. And something that they can reach pretty much from a sitting position. Remember, some of these people that are cachers are even worse off than my wife. Some of them are totally confined to these wheelchairs, and it's got to be within their reach from that sitting down position in order to be able to get at it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you recommend, because I was doing some thinking here too, as far as my caches, and I know some of my stuff, my caches are not wheelchair friendly, and there's nothing that I can do about those in those locations, because they're not, and I'm not claiming that they are, but some of them are. What would you recommend, like, what, as far as how to place a cache that is, like, what when you guys place a cache, I assume that all of yours are wheelchair friendly. How do you go about, well, I guess probably the easiest way would be to take your wife out there, but if, say she wasn't coming along, how would you, what would be going through your mind as far as what, how to place a cache? Like, what advice would you give us in this position?
Well, as I said earlier, look at it from a sitting position. If I'm in a wheelchair, am I going to be able to get to this spot? And another thing to think of, especially in your area up there, is in the cache listing, is probably to note whether or not this is going to be wheelchair-friendly year-round. You know, what might be wheelchair-friendly during the summer, because of the way the area is taken care of during the winter, it might not be wheelchair-friendly during the winter. And you might have that same letdown that my wife gets. You know, yeah, during the summer she could have gotten to it, but now there's this pile of snow all the way, you know, 10 feet out from the cache. There's no way she can get to it. Yeah, but think of it from a wheelchair position. Put yourself in your mind in the chair. If I'm in a chair, can I get to this cache?
Now, do you guys find, like, I'm sure it's disappointing. And I'm sure it's harder for you. I know, like, for me caching with my son, even where I have to get him in and out of the car, out of his chair, or out of his car seat, it, for the ones that are quick and easy park and grabs, it's almost too much for me to do that, because by the time I get him out of his chair, I could have found the cache and be back in. Do you guys find the same thing for you and your wife? Like, do you guys try to hit more that are more like the out-in-the-woods type of ones, or what, when you guys are, if you guys are trying to plan your caching day, how do you go about doing that? Do you hit ones that are mostly in the woods, or ones that are out in the like parking grabs? Because those would be definitely easier to hit in a wheelchair for sure, but they're probably less fulfilling because it takes so little time to actually hit the cache.
Well, actually, believe it or not, we still go after a wide assortment. You know, I'm sure you remember I've mentioned the walking sticks that we use. Well, they actually help her out as well. We've got two pairs of them. And so she will use those in the event we're going into an area where she's got to leave the chair behind, and use those to get her into some of the areas along with my assistance. Now, she can walk a little bit, but she tires out very quickly. So what we'll do is, if we're going to do something like that, we'll try and space that out with a few park and grabs. The park and grabs, though, she loves, because there most of the time I can pull right up to it. All she's got to do is open the door, and this is the one time where we tell the kids, hands off, this is mommy's time to search. And she
yeah.
has, this is one spot where I hate to disagree with Sunny and Sandy, but we love lamppost caches. for just that point. This is something that is usually very easy for someone. Even if we do break out the wheelchair, it's something that she can reach from that wheelchair and find that thing. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll go into a mall sometimes, and on the way out, before we've even loaded the chair back up, you know, I know that there's a lamppost cache there in that parking lot. We'll say, okay, honey, don't load it up just yet. There's a geocache over here. I'll hand her the GPS, and she takes off for it.
I want to interrupt you real quick because I want to remind our listeners who are listening, if you want to call in, go ahead, do that. The phone number is 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. We'll get you on the show if you've got a question for Bat Jazz or just want to put any comment that you have as far as disabled cachers. If you're not listening live, make sure to join us every week because we do this every week, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, p.m., and you can join us text chatting, and you can also be live on the show. Listen live. You can kind of formulate how this show goes. Make sure to do that and hit our show notes up at geocachingpodcast.info. So, yeah, all right, back to the caching with the disabled cachers. I guess I had never really put a whole lot of thought into that with my caches. My caches aren't, I didn't mark them either way. I'm probably going to go back tomorrow and mark the ones that I know are wheelchair friendly as wheelchair friendly. I got one cache that is marked that way because it was like that when I adopted the cache. But I'm gonna go back through tomorrow and I'm going to seriously think about if my caches are wheelchair friendly and I'll add that attribute to mine because I never really thought about that until I was doing some more research for this podcast.
Yeah, another advantage that I think we've had is the fact that with her being in the chair, that's putting her at a different angle of view. So there's been times where she's actually spotted the cache before myself or the kids have. You know, here we're standing up, our eyes are up higher than hers are, but she's down at a lower level being in that chair. And she's actually spotted several before the rest of us have. So, you know, there's definitely advantages to it, but we definitely need to keep that in mind when we place these caches that, you know, if I put it as a wheelchair-friendly, is it really wheelchair-friendly? And just put yourself, you know, in your mind in a wheelchair, you know, to figure it out.
When you guys run pocket queries and stuff, do you include that attribute only, or do you include other caches too? Like, obviously, some of my caches I know are wheelchair accessible, and I haven't marked them like that. How do you make that decision on your end, whether or not it is? I mean, is there a way to do that? Like, do you find that you just hit the ones that are marked like that, or do you try to judge by the cache page if it is going to be or not?
Well, I haven't really done it strictly limiting it to the wheelchair icon itself, mainly because we have already found, before I became a premium member, we'd already done quite a bit of caching, and we'd already found several caches where there was no, you know, it didn't say that it was wheelchair friendly or not. And even the difficulty level was like a 2 on it, but it was one where it was in a bush right up against the sidewalk. So all my wife had to do was reach out from her chair. She didn't even have to take her chair off the pavement, and she was able to get the cash. So no, we don't bother worrying with that. You know, I will read the cash description usually to see what we're in for, to try and plan our day so we've got as little disappointment for my wife as possible, but sometimes you just never know until you get on site, until you get there as to whether or not it's going to be friendly or not for her.
Have you ever emailed the cacher or the cache owner and asked them if it is? I was just thinking to myself that would be, I guess, one way that you could do it, but have you ever done that?
No, usually when we're getting ready to go caching, it's something You know, I'll just go and quickly look at what's nearby and download that into my iPod and into my GPS, and then we go. So usually there's not enough time. The bigger trips that we do sometimes, even there, I really haven't bothered. You know, I figure if we get there and we find that it's not going to be wheelchair friendly, if she can, she'll use the poles. If not, usually I'm able to get the vehicle close enough to where she's able to see us as we're grabbing the cash. You know, we usually get pretty close on those. And then we just get the log signed for her at that time because she was with us.
Okay. Yeah, we do the same thing with my sons. As long as they're awake for the cash room, we'll sign that they found it.
Yeah, it's all about the fun of the hunt and everything.
Yeah, and it is. And I think that in recapping, one of the things we need to do, an easy thing to do, while we're placing our caches as cache owners, because it is pretty important to remember that there are people out there that love this game just as much as we do, and don't, you know, aren't in the same physical shape that we are. That we need to place at least some thought into that. So when placing them, you know, think about all aspects of getting to the cache too. Like Montu said earlier, you know, the parks that he went to said that cache or the Sea-Doo event was, you know, wheelchair friendly. But when they got there, they found it wasn't. My guess is that the park ranger just wasn't thinking about the gate because they never had any reason to. So
yeah,
when we're placing our caches, definitely think about all aspects of getting to the cache, not just the cache itself, but like where can you park? Do you have to cross something where it wouldn't be so easy in a power chair or necessarily a manual chair? So that's what I would say as far as respecting the cachers who are disabled. Monty, would you have anything else to put into that?
Well, for instance, back to that event again, you know, the park itself was wheelchair friendly. The gate would have been okay for somebody in a manual chair. The person could have gotten up, gotten through the gate, fold up the chair, push it through, unfold, and get it back in. But not everybody is in a manual chair, so that's also something you've got to keep in mind. You know, you might look at the spot and, okay, well, no problem. Somebody in a manual chair could get through this. But not everybody is in a manual chair, and sometimes not everybody can get out of those things very easily. Or stand for long enough time for somebody to wheel the chair through. So, you know, just keeping, you know, always look at it from the chair's point of view, and you should be okay.
Okay, I want to remind everybody that we, like I said earlier, we do this thing live every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can join us. By either calling 724-444-7444, putting in TalkCast ID 7525, or go ahead and go to our website, geocachingpodcast.info. All the information is there. TalkShoe.com is how you get to our chat room. Put in the ID 7525, and you'll get to our chat room. You can chat with us and join and be live with us and kind of shape how this thing goes. And like tonight, if you had any other questions for Montu Ryder, we could get you on the show and you could ask your question. Another thing too is we do have a voicemail line. The phone number is 206-350-3GPS. And just a reminder, we still have that contest going on as far as putting in your tips and tricks. Give us a call on that voicemail line, 206-350-3GPS, and we will get you into our line to be into our contest. And what you're in the contest for is a Mego Fall Geocoin that we were going to be raffling off that was donated to us by Java Freak. So with that, I'm going to wrap up the show here. And thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We do a post-show thing. So if you are listening on recorded and you want to we do a post show. Sometimes it relates to the show that we're talking about. Sometimes it's not. But once we stop recording, we all just chat and have a good time. So make sure you join us next week. Like I said, again, our number is 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID is 7525. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week, and keep on cashing.